I'm going to tell you a few stories. All we have to do is listen.
Hello and welcome to another movie podcast, the official unofficial podcast for all movies on the planet that we feel like reviewing. I'm Oscar. With me today is
Luke
and
a distant Ralph.
Distant? What do you mean?
I'm just further away than from everybody.
Oh, I guess from me you are, and from the computer.
My voice has to travel.
Today, we will be reviewing three movies, as usual. We will be doing Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, long-ass title, the latest J.K. Rowling adaptation, written by her, I believe. Also directed by David Yates, who directed the last three Harry Potter franchise movies, I think. Pretty sure he did. Anyway, we'll move on to our review of The Edge of 17 after that, which is the latest coming-of-age story starring, what's her name? You know who I'm talking about. The girl from True Grit.
Hailee Steinfeld,
that's right. And then we'll end our show with a...
She's 1 2 away from a Seinfeld.
That's true. We'll be ending our review today with our show with a review of Nerve, which is currently out on VOD and to rent and buy. Is it available for free anywhere on streaming? Or do we know?
No, I.
You looked?
No, yeah, I looked.
It's not free.
Not free, but you know what I mean with the services. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like on
Netflix. That's what I meant to say. Sorry.
I think actually Hulu might have it.
Hulu?
Yeah, I think the Hulu has it.
No, because I just went on canistream.com today. And it wasn't on any of them.
Yeah, but did you go to canistreamit.org? You're not a true fan. You fucked up, son.
I'm going to beat you with this mic.
I hope you do. Feedback can always be sent to podmoviecast@gmail.com. Also, check out our website, otherpodcast.com, where we have all of our, where we are in general, in the whole internet world, where we're going to be doing next time, all of our past episodes. We're going to be gearing up for top 10 stuff soon. It's going to be great. What else do we have for that? No, I think that's it. Oh, wait. Since we're technically, this is the last show of November. If you're hearing this before the end of December, you can still, if you feel free to donate to us at that website. All people who donate get the bonus episode for the month, which will be Doctor Strange. We just actually recorded that episode, so it will be ready for you guys. If you should wish to donate a startup podcast, little independent stuff that we got going on here. Anyway, without further ado, let us begin with our review. Oh, no, no, fuck you. I forgot what we've been watching. Totally forgot about that. Yeah, let's do that instead.
You mean what you've been watching?
Well, I watched three films, and Luke has seen two. Ralph, you haven't seen any, right, movie-wise?
I mean, yeah, I've seen movies, just movies that I need to talk about.
Movies you don't need to talk about?
Yep.
Okay. I hear you. I want to talk about one of them right now. It's called Snowden. I saw that, Luke.
About damn time.
Well, it was not.
All right.
Yeah. So, remind me, what did you feel about the movie? What did you think of it?
I loved it.
Loved it. Right. I got to say, I loved it too. It's really good. I was really worried I wasn't going to love it. But man, the movie was good.
I get a point.
I mean, so rare. But you got it, man. You haven't seen this, Rodolfo?
No.
Are you going to try to catch it?
Yeah, I'm so mad.
No.
That movie comes out, like, the week I'm supposed to leave to Colorado.
When is that, by the way?
December 27th.
Okay. Yeah, they have time off before the end of the year, so you can do...
Maybe I'll catch up with it in January.
Might have to cancel my pre-order now.
Aww.
Or just change the shipping address to my house.
Oh, you going to ship it to me? Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
After I watch it.
Buddy, old pal.
Sort of got if that iTunes code gets used. So help you God.
I have your account. I'll use it on your account.
Touche.
Yeah, so Snowden was pretty... It's a fun movie. Look, guys, I really loved how it adds to even the... Not even the true life aspect of the film, which, I mean... Some of it is very, very normal and paint by numbers as far as biopics go. But the way it transcends it is by the way, it's by how present it feels the whole time. And it transcends it by like being really self-aware that it's a movie talking about a real life event that just happened, which also happens to coincide with the documentary that came out 2 years ago. That's also just as important and also self-aware and also criticize, not criticizes in a bad way, but like critiques on that in a good way and reflects on it. It's surprisingly really effective the way Oliver Stone manages to make a simple-looking biopic very effective to our world politics today. It's actually kind of fun. It's a really good movie. Really well made. I wish they didn't have to stick too much to the whole, you know, he doesn't have to sound like Snowden and all that, but I think...
But it was really good.
Yeah, he's pretty good at it.
Especially at the end with real Snowden.
Yeah, I mean, spoiler alert, but yeah. Real Snowden's in it.
Luke spoiled it a long time ago.
Did it? I forgot, I guess.
He said it at the... I love the end when the real Snowden comes out. Like
did
the first
really?
Thing he
did
says.
It? Wow. Yeah, this is also a really good moment.
This is why I'm not watching the movie, by the way.
It's a really good moment. I forgot about it, so I didn't know.
Way to fuck it up, Luke.
Yeah, Luke, Jesus. Anyway, so that's Snowden. Real quick, I'm going to move on to another movie Roth had seen last time, 13th. Is it The 13th or just 13th?
I think The 13th.
Okay. Well, either way, Ava DuVernay's documentary, her second one, I believe. That's the woman who directed Selma 2 years ago. Anyway, this movie is about the... I don't have the IMDb up, but it's essentially a documentary about that has a thesis statement in the beginning where it correlates between slavery and the end of slavery slash the 13th Amendment, which abolishes that, to criminalization and imprisonment, which is another form of slavery, and how it was a natural progression for basically to create more slaves. The movie has a really strong thesis. And it's very bold and it's like funny. It's like the more in the past it went, the more I believed it. And the more in the future it went, you know, because it's going timeline-wise, it goes up to us, almost through president by president, right?
Yes.
And I liked it. Don't get me wrong. I loved it even. At some points, I really loved some of that stuff. Some of the information was really badass. It opens up with an Obama quote, too, I think, about the prison system and how it... 25% and all that. I forget, 25% of the prisoners in the world are held here.
Yeah.
While we're only 5% of the world's population.
Right,
that's
exactly.
Fucked up. That's
yeah.
Really bad, as you can imagine. So, yeah, it's a really bold statement to say, and I really liked it overall. And I just don't know if this movie will have the same impact if we weren't in the political yearly climate that we're in now.
That's what I said about the movie.
Yeah, I remember you said that, and I kind of agree with you, and I'm just reiterating that overall. I'm not 100%. I want to see maybe
points
revisit this
Ralph.
Later, but I also feel like this movie is kind of important, and people should watch it, or should at least know half of the information that's on there.
At least the beginning, like the first half of the movie.
At least first half, yeah. Definitely the first half of the movie. If not read it, I mean, go read a book, but you know, getting people to read is much harder than it is to watch a movie. So that's The 13th on Netflix, instant. Watch it. It's really fascinating, if not educational, at least. Move on to my third and last film real quick. It'll be The Handmaiden, which is the latest film by Park Chan-wook, the director of Old Boy. We've all seen Old Boy, right?
Yeah, we all love Old Boy.
Yeah, not the Spike Lee one.
Of course.
And then director of Thirst. Anyone seen Thirst?
You have.
The vampire movie?
You have.
I know I have.
Right.
Oh, nice. Thanks.
You're welcome.
It's about time someone busted out that joke every time I ask, does anyone see this movie? And then what's the other one he did that I really liked he did Stoker, which is his first American movie.
No.
No?
No.
Wow, it's really good. It's fun. Anyway, Park Chan-wook, this is a completely Korean film. It's a period piece. I think it takes place like right before World War II, I think, or something like that. It's kind of complicated. I forget the title. I forget the 1936, maybe. Anyway. And it's like a double, triple cross con movie. It's based on a book that's supposedly be like really risque, and it's supposed to take place in the Victorian England, London. What are you trying to say?
Sorry, I just remembered a Simpsons reference when you said 1936. Really? I've been watching so much Simpsons.
Jesus,
so
Rob, that's why you haven't watched any movies recently.
Homer falls asleep listening to the radio, and he wakes up and it's old timey music playing, and he's like, I got transported back in time. And then Lenny and Carl have to like Homer went back in time again, like, let's fix him. He's like, you guys aren't even born yet, I have to warn everybody about Hitler. And then they change the radio station. He's like, oh guys, I was just back in the past.
Are you done?
Yeah.
The Handmaiden, watch it.
Yeah,
The Handmaiden has always been like popping up on my IMDb.
I kid you not, I have only heard great things
for some reason, like an algorithm thing.
I've only heard great things about this movie from many reviewers.
Yeah,
from
I'm with them, man.
Even if you like see something from it,
there's some sounds in that movie you will never unhear. There are some imagery you'll never unsee. Yeah, the soundtrack is really amazing. The acting is crazy good, and it's basically like a thriller with a con movie within a con movie. It's one of those twists. But it's not, even though it's twisty as it sounds, and it is. It's all based on the perfect, it's all set up so well. Everything is set up so perfectly in that movie. I'm not really saying specifically what's it about because I want you guys to see it and be surprised as I was. It's really good. The Handmaiden, watch it. That's what I've been watching. Luke, let's start with you. I'll just go with you. What have you been watching?
First, I watched a documentary called Out of Print.
Shocker.
Shut up.
What, the Out of Print or the documentary?
Seriously.
Okay.
An out-of-print documentary?
shut up. It's a documentary about the New Beverly Theater.
Tell us something
LA.
We don't know.
It's a revival of cinema, pretty much. It's $8 every day for two movies, and they have all these...
I think I know what you're talking about. I think I know this cinema.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
And Rian Johnson goes there, and he'll program a whole week of movies for the people. Before Tarantino came out with the Grindhouse thing, he programmed a whole month of Grindhouse flicks for them. And most of them were his personal collection. It's this amazing place. And I love in the synopsis.
Where exactly again?
It's LA. In LA.
No, where exactly?
I don't know, but I definitely want to go there.
Right?
It's it says... A theater where Fassbender, Romero, Scorsese, and Hitchcock films are all shown in the same week, where you could catch a double feature of Citizen Kane and the magnificent Ambersons, then stick around for the midnight screening of Cool as Ice, a place where the owner and employees genuinely care about cinema and are excited to talk to you about what the ending of Primer really means, or recommend a film you've maybe never heard of.
How many of those have you not heard of?
I've seen Citizen Kane, and I know Primer.
That's two.
But it's a huge thing,
That sounds badass.
People love this fucking theater.
What's the theater called?
The New Beverly.
Yeah. Okay.
I have heard of that.
I saw
that. Fucking LAers.
Yep. So it's pretty much the first half of the movie, or the first three-fourths, is mainly focused on the clientele that go there, how the Beverly became, the theater, because before it was a porn theater and stuff like that.
I heard about that too. Actually, it sounds to remind me.
It used to be a porn theater, and then when the owner... Then the owner passed away. They had issues.
Guys.
Where the landlord tried to get him kicked out to build a Starbucks and a haircuttery place.
Yeah.
But Tarantino stepped in, and I guess he bought it.
It's so when his talent hooked.
Tarantino kind of owns the land now. Or
probably.
But he doesn't really do much with it because it's all its own thing.
Not only does he own it, but he only bought it with Death Proof money. His least successful movie.
It's on Beverly and... The next major street is La Brea, so really popular. And it's right across the street from a GameStop, so you can totally find it.
Shouldn't be hard at all.
Right, and the other half of the movie came out to the issues that they're going to have with cinemas are going to know, major studios are no longer going to be putting out 35mm prints for films. It's all going to digital, so a lot of these places don't have the funds to get a digital
projector.
That's
why we love Music Box. Wow, Akira.
Akira.
Right, but the issue is you're not going to get any more new movies in 35mm, and then some studios don't want to distribute the 35mm they have, in their, category.
Well, that reminds me. I heard an interview about The Handmaiden with Park Chan-wook, and he had film. He's mainly a filmmaker in actual film. He's older, obviously. He's done movies since the 90s. And one of the questions that the commentator asked him is, why didn't you shoot... film like you used to, you shot this in digital. He's like, there's no processing plant in Korea anymore. I literally can't shoot it.
Yeah.
So that just sucks right there.
Wow.
His option not to even do it. But that was his only answer.
Tell him we'll take care of him if he comes over here.
Yeah, but he doesn't. He probably doesn't like us. Not like that. That's his own culture to fucking, do stuff in. He's a god over there.
He could totally
He's their Tarantino right now.
He could totally live over there. Just come make movies over here.
Yeah, I guess. Nice. What's the other movie you saw?
1984's fantasy movie, The Last Starfighter.
Oh, I thought it was called 1984's
no.
fantasy movie. I'm like, oh yeah, I like that movie.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Last Starfighter. I finally got a chance to watch it after
Dude,
having
I don't
it for
remember
ages.
Shit about this movie. I've seen it, but I don't remember.
A kid lives in a trailer park. They have a starfighter, you know, arcade cabinet. He gets like the highest score, breaks the record. Guy comes in, the gay guy who makes the game, takes him up into space, tells him this is actually a training simulator.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah, and then, like, the evil guy, you know, blows up their base while he's going back home. So he's literally the last starfighter. He goes and, like, saves the day. Bullshit. Yeah.
I'm sure he saves a lot more than a day.
Yeah. So, yeah. Totally 1980s, you know.
Awesomeness.
Very cheesy.
Awesomeness.
Like, super
but
low.
It's also a reluctant person.
Right, he does not want to do
He does not want to do it at all. And
it's like the beginning of the angsty teenage protagonist.
Right, exactly.
He did it first.
But it's not like a paint-by-the-numbers like movie that you would feel like where it's like, oh, I'm totally down, and all of a sudden I'm like, he's invested in this world.
Right.
He's like, no, man, I just want to go home.
Right. Right. He's just a kid, man.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah.
So that's what we've been watching lately. We're going to move on to, not for real, our first review of the evening, which is Fantastic Beasts and Where to Fucking Find Them.
Minus the fucking.
All right, on your hop. He has some attachment issues. Now come on, Pickett. Pickett. Now they're not gonna bully you. Now come on. Pickett. All right. That is exactly why they accuse me of favoritism.
All right. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. The adventures of writer Newt Scamander in New York's secret community of witches and wizards 70 years before Harry Potter reads his book in school.
I can't believe they... And the,
this is the brand new Harry Potter universe.
But it's not. Why do they have to fucking put Harry Potter into anything?
Hold on. This is not called Harry Potter and the Fantastic Beasts, Where to Find Them, okay? They didn't they didn't do that, though.
Right.
They're just mentioning...
You saying that just because, like, unlike the Twilight movies, they didn't put the Twilight saga, it's fucking Moonlight now? Because
then you would hate it even more.
I would hate that more.
Right, but...
It's a ridiculous title.
They have to bring
or
in...
Or the Hunger
they're
Games.
They're bringing in that it's from that so people could draw something from it.
But Dan the Bee has to describe it that way? They're in already.
So, Fantastic Beasts is by director David Bates.
Yates. Yates.
I thought it was Bates. I think this thing fucking auto-corrected me then. Because it does that. he actually did a couple of the Harry Potter movies. He did Order of the Phoenix, Half-Blood Prince, and both Deadly Hallows.
Yeah, well, I said the last four. Like I done said
you
so.
You said
yeah.
three.
And
wait,
he also did...
He did part five too?
Order of the Phoenix, Half-Blood Prince, Deadly Hallows 1 and 2.
Bitch.
I just thought you did. Fuck yourself. You didn't know
and
shit.
I saw
more recently. More recently, he did Legend of Tarzan.
Oh, God.
The movie that none
that
of us
grand
watched.
Opus of a movie that everyone loves?
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, it's... I don't know who wrote it, but I know J.K. Rowling's, you know. She had a huge part in it, so... Stars Ralph's favorite actor, Eddie Redmayne, as Newt Scamander.
Second movie.
My favorite underrated actor, Colin Farrell, as Graves.
Say underrated?
He is very underrated. He needs to be more up there. Dan Fogler as Jacob Kowalski. I just didn't even know they can name them Jacob because they all just said it was Kowalski the whole time.
Mike Kowalski.
he had a first name?
Yeah, right?
Okay.
Catherine Watterson as Tina.
Oh, I love Catherine Watterson.
The demoted horror that is trying to, you know, bust Newt. Her sister, Allison Tittle, as Queenie.
Like, three weird words in that sense. Like,
Ezra Miller.
Okay.
As Credence Barebone, and spoiler alert, skip 5 seconds, Johnny Depp as Grindelwald.
And that's a review for Fantastic.
That's exactly what I think about it.
So guys, what did you think?
Who are you going to ask first, Luke?
Ralph, what did you think?
Hey, why don't you put your mouth to the mic when you...
His rodeo, so he gets to choose, right?
Right.
That being said, what did I think? I am probably on the side with Luke Camp here more, where I overall liked the movie. I think it has... Yeah,
you think I liked it? Okay.
Okay. I overall liked it. I had fun watching it, especially what's it called, through Jacob's point of view. Yeah, so what's it called?
I was asking.
Or watching his part, should I say, getting to see that. Other than that, though, there is a lot of problems with this movie. But I don't know. I still felt okay leaving the movie and be like, oh, this was okay. Like, you know, I liked it. I liked what I saw. I didn't have problems with it. I did love the fact that, you know, the music's still there. You know, it still kind of brought you in. I love the world also, specifically the – I love the animals, in fact. So
the creatures.
In said movie, yes. The creatures that we see.
All right. Oscar, what did you think?
This movie was okay. No, I mean, seriously, this movie is just okay. Like, I feel like the money's definitely on the screen, meaning that it looks expensive and it looks, you know, really well creatively thought out as far as the effects go and the creatures go and all that. That was kind of fun. I don't understand some of the acting choices, particularly Redmayne. I don't know what he's doing ever, honestly, in any movie he's in. He is that guy. Well, hey. I wanna have a conversation with. I just want to talk to that guy.
It looks like there's gonna be 5 of these movies. So
yeah, but they're not all him. I'm supposedly this is the intro to the actual world, the next movie.
I think it's all him.
Oh Jesus! Then I'm skipping on the next one because I can barely stand it for one movie. No.
Yeah, it's his adventures.
No.
Yeah. All right. No. That's how you really feel.
No.
Just that this movie barely sustains one, like, it just sustains for one movie, I think. And even though I did like the reveal there at the end with the extra casting, overall I liked it. Also, I saw that coming. It was a combination of, like, kind of bad plotting with some weird acting that basically worked barely at the end. It worked barely. It didn't fail. It succeeded, but, like, it barely crossed that finish line. It wasn't a landslide. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I'm kind of still indifferent on this movie. I'm going to lean more towards liking it, though.
Yeah.
However, I think one of the biggest failures that this movie had for me was, you know, we're going into this... Okay, so with the original Harry Potter, we were introduced to this whole wizarding community in London. Here we have the wizarding community in the United States.
New York.
The 1930s. So I felt like that's something that they didn't establish much of the world. They just dropped it, you know, into like things. But I wanted more of a world building because, I mean, obviously I don't know where he's going to go on his next
adventure.
So
you wanted the Harry Potter intro, but for this movie, like you wanted that intro?
I wanted more of to know about the world because it's a completely different than, you know, the wizarding community in England is. So.
Hmm.
I feel it
is different.
I feel it's they missed it.
It does feel like every country is different,
right? So
like every country is different.
I don't
today,
know, like,
right?
You know, like they world. Don't have Muggles; they call them nomads,
which is way worse,
right?
Yeah, wish they thought something better.
And then like they're like, more strict.
Dumbasses.
You like you can't marry a Muggle if you're in America,
right? And that's so us, by the way,
America,
right? Really segregation, are. You know, shit. God, they nailed
separation
us for that.
Of church and state.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, I felt that was kind of a missed thing, especially for, like, a setup. I don't know if he's going to be going back to New York or not, if they're going to be reusing some of the
people.
He
already said he was.
Well, you never know.
I agree with that overall. I wish I would have more of that. If they had time for it. Like, they do spend a lot of time with little things sometimes. They do, you know, how their office works, where their building's at, right? You know, how their president... / our office / whatever government they have, you know, how they work. Is it Empire State Building? Was it that they?
I don't know.
I don't remember. It was some New York big building. And, you know, that was kind of cool. It was very similar to England's, but it's in a different way, right?
Yeah.
And that was cool. I like the instead of like papers flying by themselves, it's like, what was it, like rats, paper rats going
like
everywhere?
Little paper origami.
Yeah. That was kind of cool. Little stuff like that. Yeah, the movies. These movies have never faltered in that respect for me. You're right. I wish more world building as far as this new land, but I feel like I got enough from the last 8 movies. That I was fine.
I think
it.
What J.K. Rowling does great, because she did write this movie, or at least the screenplay for it.
The screenplay. There's no book anyway.
There is a book for it.
No, but I thought it was like a.
It's like a textbook thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, because I saw it at a bookstore, so I saw it. What it's a whimsical world that she creates really well. Yeah. The whimsy is high on that part. So you get to see this cool, like, you know, all the creatures that you see are very, you know, overall the magic in general. Yes, I agree with Luke where I wish we got to see a lot more logistics or a lot more stuff. But if you think about it also in the Harry Potter movies, you get a lot more of that because he's learning. But other than that, he doesn't – you get more through the 8 movies or whatever because of the fact that he just learns throughout those 8 movies and you're getting a lot through those. And the first movie, you only get it because he's learning. Other than that, you probably would get it around the same as you would in this movie.
Right.
Just because he's learning and he's, you know, brand new to the wizarding community, you get to experience a lot more.
Yeah.
That being said, I personally feel, and I think I talked to Oscar about this, or I don't know if it was you or Oscar, one of you guys, that I think the movie would have been better had it not been through, if we saw it through the perspective of Kowalski. I would have appreciated the movie a lot better. I think I would have appreciated the movie. I would have liked it a lot more.
Here's the thing. I know
that's not the point of the movie. So.
Right.
Because Kowalski didn't write the book.
Exactly.
Wait, what book?
Fantastic
Beasts.
We don't need a real book to reference the movie. But, okay, yeah, you're right. Let's say they have
a real fake book?
Yeah, real fake book. I hate when they do that. They're not beholden to anything. Write whatever you want. Yeah, I think that movie would have been more rewarding, maybe even doubly, 3 times more rewarding if it was through Kowalski's POV. Let's say all the time, if not most of the time. Now, but it would have been really frustrating for audiences who have known the Harry Potter world that they're not suddenly not being shown magic the way it's intended with wizards doing their own thing and their POVs. Like, I think people want that more, even though it's maybe a less substantial movie as a beginning for a new series, than it would be for us who wants a better written movie, but we're not the mass audience. I think that's the real disconnection. I think they would 9 times out of 10 go with, we're going with a POV of a fucking wizard who knows what he's doing and can show his magic over the guy who doesn't. Right. And has to be explained everything and misses everything or whatever, you know. Yeah, so I can see that frustration already if this movie were made the way we're asking it to from a lot of people. But that being said, yes, CGI great, Beast awesome, love the hawk. What do we think of the there's 2 plots, right? It's the finding the creatures and Ezra Miller's plot, which is super interesting. I really love his stuff. I want to talk about that for sure. How do we feel they match together? I'm going to talk about the kid at the orphanage the religious nut.
Right. The barebone house.
Yeah, his mother's played, or his whatever, fake mother, surrogate mother. It's played by that actress. I forget the actress's name, Samantha Morton. It's so rare to see her as a villain. She's usually a much more dramatic actor. Never in those roles. I mean, never like one villain or.
Right. So, do you want to talk about that plot point first? Or
yeah, I guess we'll do that one first. Right. I was asking you what we want to talk about.
So basically, when he comes into New York, he walks by one of the buildings, and we have Samantha Morton's character, Mary Lou Barebone. She's preaching against, you know, magic, and you know that there's these people that are doing this, and she's the leader of a group called the New Salem Philanthropic Society, the NSPS, or the Second Salemers, as they dubbed themselves.
Yeah.
So it's weird because they're talking about magic in this movie where it's supposed to be like a big secret that there is no such thing as magic. I don't know if they just assume she's nuts or not. But if she's got all these kids that she kind of like adopts and they spread her agenda for her through leaflets and whatnot. And one of the kids that she has adopted, Credence.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he gets...
What was that girl's name? Another similar name like that, like Patience or something.
Yeah, it's they're all very, like, biblically names.
But, like, ultra-biblically. They're not even biblical in names. They're, like, named after virtues.
Right. It's chastity, modesty.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. So...
She's great at parties, guys.
Right. But... So, you know, with all this hate that's coming through, you know, this house, this guy, Credence gets all this punishment and abuse and whatnot.
Yep.
I don't know if she suspects him of being magical or whatever it is. Anyway, one of the actual magicians or wizards, Graves.
Looks like the lead auror. Is that what he is?
Yeah, he's like a, he's like a head honcho or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, he actually talks to Credence, and so he tells him that, you know, magic is real. He's going to take him out of this, you know, situation and prevent his mother from hurting him. But he's got to find a girl, or he thinks it's a girl, that lives with him, that is trying to, that is an actual wizard. He's suppressing the powers.
I'll correct you real quick. And what he's promising him isn't that he'll take him out. What he's promising him is that he has the gift also, and he'll teach him magic.
Oh, yeah.
So he's going to teach him supposedly magic because he's got, he can be taught.
Yeah.
Right. He's not a muggle or a nomag. Madge or whatever.
At first, I thought that he was going to say that Credence was whatever Finch is, which is a squib.
Wow, well, really, we called him books. That later on.
Did he call him a
squib? Yes, he did.
Oh, I must have missed that line. Well, there you go. I thought the same thing.
He calls him when he walks away and finds the girl.
Yeah. Thinking that the girl is the one that produces the dead Oculus? Or
yeah, I was actually looking for it. I really didn't hear it. Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like a line when he was like rushing away. So,
oh, maybe that's why. Yeah, but so that scene is really good. Also,
Obscurus. And there you go.
Obscurus. Yeah, and Obscurus is basically where the magic is held on for so long and repressed that it lashes out because the magic, like,
it
energy,
becomes like an entity.
Like energy has to has to get out.
Exactly. You need to
like
channel
a ring wraith.
You have to channel it.
Yeah.
Like a what? A ring wraith. Jesus, I'm dropping my mic now. The amount of geekery in this room right now. Because we recorded Doctor Strange earlier today, so it's all like, everything's all connected.
Pullback shot.
Yeah, geek. Pullback shot, yes. All
right.
So what do we think of this plot line? Plot, yeah.
It's pretty interesting, because obviously this Obscurus is coming, it's wrecking parts of the city.
Well, it starts that way, I think. One of the bigger, yeah. It even gets to the island, right, I think. The main dude.
Yes, before he gets to the same day as he gets to the island.
Same day, yeah. But it happens.
Well, anyway, so this Obscurus is loose, and then they find Newt, and he's apparently has this bag of fucking creatures. They pin the blame on him, that he's the one that set it loose.
Right.
So he's got to escape the Mac USA headquarters. Magical Congress of the United States of America.
Magusa.
MacUSA.
MacGuber.
MacGuber. What did you think of that stuff? The Credence?
I felt it was lackluster, unfortunately. Yeah.
I love the actor, though. Credence? Ezra Miller?
Ezra Miller, yeah.
Good.
He's good.
I just thought, creepy little fucker.
He always looks like a murderer.
He does. I just thought it was... I didn't know where it was going, and then... Because they bring it up in the beginning, they kind of don't do anything a little bit after that, and they bring, and then it becomes like the biggest plot point, right? And you're just like, okay, I get where we're bringing this into it, and then you find out that Redmayne can do, or Scamander, sorry, actually knows like what it is, and nobody else knows what it is, which is interesting. Like I like how they tie that into it at least. But
at the very end when it's too late.
They tied it in before because he shows that he has one because he took it out. He extracted it from the little girl.
Yeah, I guess to the audience, yes.
Yeah, to the audience, exactly, to the audience. I meant to us. We're watching the movie, not them.
Right, I thought you meant like them. Yeah.
No, but it is very convenient that it ties for... I didn't get the blame, the shifting of the blame until like midway through the movie that they were blaming him about the creatures. And I was like... Or, like, why were they blaming him because of the creatures? And it turned out because what's-his-name was blaming
Graves
him.
Wanted to blame on him.
Exactly.
So he could actually find the real Obscurus.
Right, exactly. That's what it was. I didn't get that because it just felt like, why is he getting blamed?
It's the U.S.
He just got
pin it at someone and...
Right.
Done. Right.
Well, that's what it felt like, too. So because I was like, he just literally just arrived. And he couldn't even defend himself.
Yeah.
And speaking it, so...
Yeah. I think I liked it a lot more thematically, and even though some of the stuff doesn't work, like some of the stuff you're saying now, plot-wise, right, and the minutiae of it, I'm with you. It doesn't work. And some of the stuff with Eddie Redmayne's character really doesn't work. Like, you don't have to go through customs when you get on there. Just fucking apparate somewhere else. You're done. I felt the same way about a lot of stuff. The whole luggage thing felt a little too cartoony. Felt like toddler cartoon stuff.
Are you going to walk into the luggage?
Like, oh, no, the swap of the luggage. Like, you know it's going to happen because they both have the same luggage.
Oh, yeah.
And it happens like a 3 minutes later than they should have if it has to anyway. And a lot of stuff like that didn't have to happen. And also the part that really bugged me as far as the first half, let's say, is when the former investigator, Aurora, what's her name, whatever her name is, brings in Scamander and...
Tina.
Doesn't bring him in. The first time before she brings him in is... asked to see, you know, to talk about this thing she's uncovering, and they literally don't let her talk, and they kick her out of the room when it could be very important, and she should have been more forceful, / they should have listened, because it would have been solved from the beginning if they worked together, like all cops do, always. So I found that really frustrating. But besides that, I really liked it thematically, because... I liked the stuff with thematically, because you know what I thought of? I thought of Voldemort. In a good way. And in a bad way. Not in a good way the way you're thinking, but in a good way of the movie, how that worked. This guy, Grindelwald, now that we know it's him, I'm just going to call him that. Grindelwald discovered the next Voldemort before it was Voldemort. Like, that's how powerful this kid was. They mentioned about, like, you never get that to be that old. The past 10 years old is really rare for you to repress the magic and still be able to be alive. The fact that this kid was 13 or 14 and managed to do it so well to fully even another great magic user, Grindelwald, throughout this whole time means this kid, I mean, he was right to go and look for this kid and try to teach him. Obviously, to bad ends, he was going to be his teacher to do some dark shit, right? Or political stuff, at least. And he failed, and that failure probably cost the world either some great successes or some great failures in the future. And I like that idea of it. I like the idea of raising the next dynasty or killing it before it can be a dynasty.
Yeah, I get it. I like the idea too. I just feel like it doesn't come up until the very end, right?
You're right. It does. But I thought of it throughout the movie too.
Sure.
It wasn't like.
But at the same time, you're like, why are we following this kid? You're asking yourself through the whole most of the movie until you find out that, oh, okay, this guy wants him for a reason.
Obscurus.
Right. And it's like, oh, okay, does he want to hone the power? What does he want? Oh, he's this guy. Oh, okay. And then it finally wraps itself in a bow. And you're just like, here is your present. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I guess. You're not wrong. I just think I fell enough for it on that part.
Okay, yeah.
And, there was another point I was going to make about that as far as my defense, but I forget. So what do we think of that reveal about Grindelwald and shit? I mean, the movie... Oh, here's a bad thing. The movie opens with the opening credits about fast-moving newspapers.
Right.
And they mention Grindelwald. Now, look, if you and I hadn't read those books fanatically and seen those movies probably once or twice a piece, would we even get that Grindelwald reference? I mean, it was really fast. We got it because we know shit.
Right. I mean, at first I was like,
because we're geeks and shit.
At first I was like, Grindelwald, that sounds familiar,
right.
But you know.
Yep.
So I knew that was a big thing. Obviously, they wouldn't have showed it if it was.
I'm just saying, that's the only connection that the reveal has. And if.
But then at that time spent, Grindelwald was kind of running rampant, wasn't he? So.
No, he was like the Stalin of his day for a lot of people, or the.
All right.
The opposite of that.
Do you want to go to the other plot point, the other plot of the movie?
Yeah.
So Newt's commander comes to New York. He has this thing, you know, suitcase full of creatures. He's got a mission. We don't know what it is yet.
Fantastic creature.
Shut up. One of them gets out. It's, what was it, like a nibbler, nifter or something?
He's a little cute.
Niffler. This little cute thing that goes and tries to steal anything shiny. So, of course, it goes to the bank.
Yeah.
So where he goes and bumps into Kowalski, who's trying to get a loan for this amazing bakery he wants to build or get, but, you know, doesn't go for him. Through circumstances, obviously, their suitcase is switched, so he gets the suitcase full of donuts, and Kowalski gets the suitcase full of magical creatures. Kowalski goes home, opens the suitcase, shit comes out, now they gotta find it. In the process, Tina takes him to her house where he meets Queenie, his sister. Kowalski falls in love with her. They have a thing because he never erases his memory.
Right.
All that fun jazz. And then, you know, he takes him down into his briefcase, which is like ginormous on the inside because it's magic. And he's got all these creatures and he kind of shows it all to him. explains who they are and what, mm-hmm. you know, what they do. And his purpose was to guide them to go to Arizona to let one of these, like, hawk creatures.
Oh, God, the Arizona thing.
Yeah.
I remember
go
that.
Loose.
Yeah.
Or bring it back home.
That's another thing. Like, he could just disappear and do it right away. I don't know.
No, he can't because he doesn't know that area.
Yeah.
So he could travel through those whatever, like, fire travel thing.
Well, we don't know when it was invented, too.
But he can't apparate somewhere he doesn't know where he's going.
Also, we don't know if the flu network was established.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. That's
yeah, I mean, you're going continents too.
Right.
I mean,
I'm telling Oscar. Oscar's talking about just apparate everywhere. He's never been to New York.
No, I mean
before.
You can't cross the state line. To
no, I'm saying, but you can't.
I know that there's no limit.
But even when he got to the boat, and you're like, why is he even checking in? Because he doesn't know where to fucking apparate to. He just got there.
I don't know if it really.
Yes, you have to know where you're going.
No, I'm not saying.
Think Nightcrawler's ability. If you've never been there before, you don't know how to get. You don't know where to apparate into.
I didn't know it was like that.
Yeah,
well, I don't know.
Well, I was just you just have to apparate somewhere you know where to go.
I just thought you could do it like a rally point that just like it's
there. Hey, look, there's a picture. I'm gonna go there.
No, not like that. But like a rally point in the area. Like
yeah, it is like a rally point in the area technically, but you can't. You have to.
No, I just thought it was like ingrained, not ingrained into anybody like an animal, but like it's like set up for wizards to know where they're going.
Oh no,
like signposts.
No,
I don't know. That's what I thought.
No. There are things like that also. But apparition is just more like I know where it is. I know that it's an empty space, and I can apparate there.
What if you just like go to a really tall building by the ocean and just jump off it and keep apparating forward as fast as possible so you cross the ocean? Think about it.
I don't think it'll work. The
and
ocean.
If you're about to fall down, you're going to apparate up because you can see up.
I just think it takes a lot of
I know,
power.
Right?
Yeah.
Just get a broomstick and fly.
Right. So what do we think of this stuff, then?
Which stuff are we
pretty much? I mean, his stuff is the most childish, meaning the more part...
How old is Scamander in this? Do we know?
No.
Is he, like, early 20s? Because they mention a brother of his, for example, in the movie. And because his brother's supposed to be, like, some general or something, or some, like, war hero.
He was born in 1897... So this was like the 1920s.
So he's like his 30s.
Yeah. Late 20s, maybe.
Late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah.
Okay. Because he's like, he's basically out of college, if you think about it, right? Or out of doing his trade, and now he's doing his own thing finally, right?
Yeah.
That's essentially what he is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Obviously, he's made an impact because some of the wizards in the community knew who he was.
No, they knew his brother.
Did they?
His brother was a war hero, they said.
I thought he also was something.
No. They said, he's like, wait, are you Scamander, the war hero? And they're like, no, that's his brother. And like, oh.
I still could have thought Neil would do something good, too.
They might have known. Yeah, they might have known who he was also because the brother dealt with dragons, I think. That's what it was.
They mentioned that. Yeah, I don't know.
Right, right.
It's the one animal he didn't have.
We don't know. Maybe he had another suitcase in there.
Suitcase within a suitcase? It's worse than Inception, guys.
Suitcaseception.
Conception. That was good. Anything else on this movie? I can't think of anything.
Well, we didn't really get to the part of
I guess not. What part?
His story plot?
Right. Like, what do we think?
The creature thing? I felt it was half-hearted also a little bit. Where, like...
Yeah, I thought it would be more...
Well, his reasoning to be there, it was like, oh, I'm here to visit somebody, right? And I guess he was trying to get passageway to something. He's obviously smuggling creatures, and he knows that he's smuggling creatures.
Yeah, in the beginning, that's illegal to
right, exactly.
Smuggle creatures.
Yeah. So he's trying to do something. He's trying to find somebody that he doesn't find until the very end of the movie, right? Right. To help him take the creature, and then he ends up, the creature sacrifices himself. So,
yeah, I thought that was lackluster too. I thought you meant that the creatures themselves, like
no, the creatures were awesome.
Yeah, they were great.
Yeah, they were great.
I really wanted to see a Thestral. Just say this guy doesn't have everything.
What? I'm sorry.
A Thestral.
Yeah.
Look, you know what a Thestral is?
Oh yeah.
Look, tell him what a Thestral is. Show him how geeky nerdy you are, huh? Show him what's a Thestral. Thestral. No, tell him. You looked it up? You're supposed to know by memory.
I was making sure. It's when you. It's like that horse thing you see if you experience death. That only
the dark
I think
horse
Harry,
that only
Harry Potter saw it and Luna Lovegood saw it.
Yeah. There
so
you
maybe
go.
He had an experience.
That's my boy. And Longbottom, too, because you saw his grandma die. Yeah. Or mother.
Was it his grandma? Maybe his parents, I thought.
Maybe he has an experienced death.
Yeah?
Maybe he has an experience, so he can't catch one.
Then he's not a true magical beast,
the,
dude.
The girl he took the Obscurus from died.
Damn.
With the extraction.
Well, maybe he hasn't encountered one yet.
Well, that's the first thing you do after you
That's not true. This is so stupid.
Maybe he'll just go to Hogwarts and steal one.
Yeah.
I love that little school rivalry. Hogwarts, hogwash.
Yeah, hogwash. Yeah, that was funny. I kind of want to see their school, though. Don't you guys want to see that school?
Like their school?
Well, they didn't have a case over there, so I guess.
He's what? Well, let's see how dirty you guys are. What, who does he belong to?
Who does who belong to?
Newt Scamander. Scamander.
Hufflepuff, duh.
Yeah, and he got kicked out.
Yeah. I just guess that because they're always like so dirty and animal nature loving. Nerdy.
Oh,
Hufflepuff in general. They're like animal loving, plant loving type deal, so I just went with Hufflepuff. And what with the odds? This is not in the real books, by the way. The real books are, that's what I'm nerdy on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
All right.
I think that's it.
I think we're fucking around. And Luke, anything else, Dad?
No, I think we would you be excited to watch the sequels now?
I'd have to be impressed by trailers or the. Oh, maybe David Yates, can you stop directing these movies, maybe? Or something different has to change, maybe? If they're really going to be the same people.
Well, think about it. What if you like go to the sequels, plot points in
houses,
time?
Houses. If it goes the route Harry Potter did, where you're just getting more and more, because like. You got way more every book, right?
Right.
Every book you got, well, you got a lot.
I just think we should change the main act characters every time.
Well, Newt wrote the book, so he's got to be there.
You're stuck with
Redmayne.
You're not stuck with anything. No one. Okay, Hollywood, so you don't need Eddie Redmayne to be in your
movies.
What's
he going to do? He's going to do the thing where that professor in the second book did. He's going to steal people's exploits and claim it as his own.
Oh, really? Yeah. What was it? The smiling guy, right?
Yes. The celebrity. Yeah. Celebrity guy, yeah.
Useless motherfucker. That's what it is.
Yeah, he was useless.
Very useless.
Very useless.
Instead of healing Harry's bones.
Newt is way better. All right, then that's it for our review of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Where do you find them? Not in Chicago.
New York.
Not yet.
Stay with us. So we're going to be reviewing our next film in a moment, which will be...
Nerve? The Edge of 17.
The Edge of 17. Stay with us.
How was your weekend?
It was below average. Yeah.
Okay.
How was your weekend?
Oh, I golfed. Mini golf. Like, I don't know why I did that. I'll pick that up. But yeah.
Tim's Fun Park.
Yeah.
I love that place.
We should go sometime.
Yeah, we should. With like a group of people, like with like several people.
Right. Just us.
Like just us.
Yeah. A group.
Yeah.
A group.
I think that'd be
so much more fun.
Yeah.
Right? You know.
Yeah.
The Edge of 17. High school life gets even more unbearable for Nadine when her best friend Krista starts dating her older brother. That's a pretty shitty synopsis.
Sounds like a pretty shitty day.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
Who wrote and directed this one? I forget, you know.
We got, it's actually directed, produced, and written by Kelly Fremon Craig. It is her directorial debut.
Yep. So, yeah, it is.
Yeah. Starring Hailee Steinfeld as Nadine, our angsty protagonist. Hailee Lou Richardson as her best friend Krista. Blake Jenner as Darian, the perfect brother. Kyra Sedgwick as Mona, the widowed mother. Woody Harrelson as Mr. Brunner, the amazing history teacher. Hayden Shadow as Erwin, the weird Asian love interest, and Alexander Calvert as Nick Mossman, the creepy guy she wants to do. All right.
Yeah, I mean, creepy to us, but clearly a heartthrob.
Right.
In the making. He's the next River Phoenix, guys.
kids these days. All right, so first impressions. Oscar.
I liked it. I really liked it. I was surprised by it, actually. A little, not a lot, because I, coming into the movie, when you first chose it, I like, what the, I've never heard of this movie. And then by the time I actually saw it, which was last night, yeah, so when I actually did go see it, by that time I had not read some reviews or anything, but I heard
okay.
that it was actually really good, and people were saying positive things. So I gave it, my expectation chart went up a little.
You went from bearable to, you know.
No, barely there to going up. And I'm like, okay, I actually want to see how good this movie is. And it was, it exceeded those expectations, and it was pretty good, damn good. All right. Liked it a lot.
How about you, Ralph?
It got its payday. No, I had fun with the movie. I think the movie does a lot of, coming of age tropes, I guess. A lot of those from 80s, 90s stuff going on. But I had fun with it. I unfortunately think the trailer ruined probably the two of the better jokes in the movie. Because I did see the trailer, unlike Oscar.
Right.
I'm not a coming-of-age kind of person, movie-wise. I think they came out like every for the last like 4 or 5 years. They've been coming out like plentiful. Yeah. And you guys eat them, gobble them all up every time, and I just really. Can't stand them. It feels that way. Other than that, though, I mean, I didn't hate it. I liked the main actress. I liked her role. I thought she was a little bit more well-versed than I thought she should be, but other than that, for her age. But at the same time, I mean, it wasn't that bad either. It wasn't out of the blue, you know? I enjoyed a lot of the characters all overall, so I could say I enjoyed the movie, I guess. So that's a plus.
All right. I really love this movie. It was great. I was a little afraid after I actually chose the movie. I was like, fuck, I hope this movie isn't going to just bomb, because it's going to be another bad pick for Luke.
Right. I know. And what did you know about this movie? Because you chose
it. I just saw the trailer.
Oh, that's it?
Okay. Yeah, and I was like, I hate Woody Harrelson. He's a funny guy. I like what he's saying in here. So, you know what? I'm going to go with it.
Okay.
I mean, Woody establishes himself right away.
He's great.
just going to be a dick.
And then, but you know.
Really sarcastic, dry.
Right. Oh, it's that dryness is the best. Yeah. But, I was still surprised by, you know, Hailee Steinfeld. She was really good in that role. You know, the whole movie kind of just did focus on her. So, you know, obviously you had that, you know, stuff coming down the line, that revealing, you know, her life isn't so bad. You know, she thinks her brother's got it so great and everything, but it's not always the case.
Right.
She's in her own little bubble.
That's a wonderful thing about this movie, is that it's her POV all the time.
All the time, yeah.
So, like, as things mature or as things change for her and her POV of people or things or just situations, mainly the people, mainly her mother, I want to say, and her brother, the top two people, I think. You would think her friend, but not really, because she kind of disappears, actually.
Right. Which is true, because she disappeared from her life.
Right, exactly. And it feels that way when she comes back and sporadically, you know, times. And anyway, well, but the way her brother changes by the end is really the best change for me, because the movie... You show the real the vision of the director too in that and the way that happens, because it just happens for me anyway pretty seamlessly. There's no like flashiness to it. It just happens.
Right.
And I don't know if it was I know it was in the acting for sure, but it must have been also in the directing that I missed, because like I said, I was just into the story. I didn't really pay attention to all the details of the filmmaking, but it happened somewhere in there, and it was really good. It was a really nice reveal for me. I really liked it. I mean, I didn't think I would, because it's like, you know, teenagers now, and it's very like crazy, and it's, I don't know, like a lot of some of the problems feel like it would be initially blasé.
It's also not your average family either. It is and it isn't, almost, right?
Yeah. Right.
Where it's a loss of the family, not a divorce, not a just our. I never had a father to begin with.
Although, you know? Going out on Billy Joel, not so bad.
No, well, he didn't go out. Technically, he died in the hospital. So,
but yeah,
with Billy Joel in his heart.
Yeah, Billy Joel in his heart.
No more.
Nope.
Is it stopped dead? Right. So, I mean, from the beginning, you know, this Nadine's character, Nadine, the character, she's always been like this outcast, doesn't want to go to school, you know, doesn't have any friends, and then until she meets Krista in the second grade. And, right. You know, Krista's home life apparently isn't so perfect, so they're obviously bonded. So, you know, and that's her only friend. So, cause even that brother made a joke about her when she said friends. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because
she says, stay away from my friends. She's like, friends? He's like, friends?
Yeah. See, you guys saw that as a joke? I saw it as more as a snipe.
Oh, it was a snipe,
for
sure.
It was a huge snipe.
Well,
it was funny on my part.
Like that brother-sister snipe. Yeah.
Some stuff, like, it wasn't like I was questioning myself whether to laugh or not. I did laugh, I think, at the times I thought it was funnier to laugh. And other times I was like, oh, shit, like, nice comeback, but like, fuck. Like, just things got serious out of the blue, or things got serious pretty fast, just like siblings do, actually. Rob, you and I probably had similar things like that happen all the time.
Yeah, you're the girl in the room.
Fuck you. The sex change happened really well. I'm a dude now, so get over it. I really agreed with the way that worked out. And it's funny because I saw her brother in the same way she did at first.
Right.
Like, I just bought her.
Yeah, you bought her interpretation of how,
right.
how miserable she is and whatever.
I just followed her POV so well that I believed her is my point, I guess.
You know, same here. Yeah, we all got fooled.
Yeah. I mean, not even fooled exactly. Like, it was a natural progression, like I said. And it felt natural. It's just that at the very first, the beginning, I, like, oh, yeah, he's just a jock that he's famous.
Right.
And everything's going perfect for him ever since, you know.
Right, but of course.
His life is so bad, his mom doesn't want to buy him creatine anymore because of the kidney failure or whatever that's linked to.
Oh, okay.
So, woe is him.
Yeah. But at the same time, you're like, maybe, woe is her? Like, why is her? That's probably the main thing that the movie's trying to do. It's funny, because I think we're going to... I tend to glom onto the sibling rivalry. Not the rivalry, just the sibling problem, dilemma that the movie has, more than the main thing the movie's trying to do. I think the movie is trying to really show a teenage girl, like many other teenagers, and let's face it, some adults too, that think that they're the only ones who have problems and nobody else does.
Yeah, I think that's the main message of the movie.
It's not the main thing I went on to emotionally, but it is the main thing.
What's how we view the world, right?
Yeah, right.
And even the mom has a hard time doing it. And when she explains it to the daughter, she's like, you know, I just imagine everybody else's life is as shitty as mine, right, or as shitty as everybody else's. It's just that they know how to hide it better.
Right.
You know, that's just the difference. And I was like, oh, well, okay.
And they probably think that they're not hiding it better either. Right,
right, exactly. Mm-hmm. I kind of did see a progression. I mean, I didn't call that the kid was, you know, put all the weight on his shoulders, the brother, mm-hmm, like you guys. I saw some things in the movie. I saw the progression, especially, like, when the mom's like, I have a perfect child. They're like, yeah, like, you're, like, you can already see there from that point, he's already being asked to do things, like, to solve issues in the house that he probably shouldn't be asked to solve issues in the house because he's the son, not the father, right? Yeah. And then also, like...
Sounds a little dirty, rough. Sorry.
And then obviously you see it, like, very end, towards the end, obviously, the big change before they have the conversation, the heart-to-heart moment where they hug it out, you know? Yeah. It is a sort of progression that you kind of do. There is a directorial progression that there is in the movie. And I guess you did miss it, Oscar, a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was there. I did totally see it. I saw this movie today, or 12 hours ago.
So you saw, it's funny, because you saw, like, 10 hours... after I did. When did you see it, Luke, in relation to today?
Like 14 hours before I did.
The 30 hours? I don't know. 28-ish?
Yeah.
All right. Any of you guys, plot points you want to talk about? I mean, it's pretty much straightforward. It's
straightforward, yeah. It's coming of age movie.
It is, yeah, it's kind of...
I have a quick question. Okay. So, interesting. So, we've seen many of these movies, right?
Yes.
John Hughes, gigantic, right?
Who?
Anyways, I know you've never seen of any of his movies, Luke, but that being said, I know Oscar has. Coming into a movie like this, you kind of expect certain things, or you think some things might pop up in the movie, right? I had a big, one of my big fears, and what, like, I guess is, what did you think the movie was going to do? Like, because there's a lot of things going on, and one of my big fears was that she wasn't going to end up hooking up with that Asian guy. I already forgot his name.
Erwin.
She wasn't going to hook up with Erwin because she's also trying to mack on this other guy, mm-hmm. and then he was going to find out or whatever,
right.
and then they were going to have a fight, and then eventually, like, lead up to it. And I'm really glad it didn't happen that way.
Right, because it's like, he has no idea, like,
who this person is.
This Nick guy just exists in her universe. You know, she's...
Well, he's a real person in the real world.
Right, but the idea of him, you know?
Exactly, yeah, sure. But, like...
The pedestal, on the pedestal in this scenario.
No, I'm just really glad it didn't come up like, oh, I overheard someone talking about that Nick got attacked.
And I think
you.
It's almost like a socio-political thing going on here with that scene in the car. Where it's the combination of, like, you know, just fucking teenagers being teenagers.
Right.
And I know it's modern, so, like, the teenagers being teenagers is like an accidental Facebook message that leads to, oh my God, that message wasn't psycho, it was, like, gratifying. And he expects sex, but she wants emotional bonding. She just didn't say that, right?
Right. In her mind, she's she wants to bond, and then but she doesn't know.
Right. And it's nobody's fault. It's not his fault. He expected a hookup because that's what she said.
Obviously, he didn't
force himself. Thank God. Like, that would have been good.
Yeah, that would have been something.
The whole point is that he did stop.
Yeah.
When she said no.
Guys, consent.
Yes, exactly. Consent.
What the fuck?
It was a good lesson in that, even though the guy looked like a douchebag. I really didn't like
day
his
one,
look.
Yeah.
I don't understand his hair. What's with that hair?
I don't know. Sounds like a dog died on it.
How old are we?
Anyways.
Yeah. I really like that. That was a good scene. There's a lot of good scenes like that. Like, that can be taken out of the movie's context and applied to some sort of facet of real life that maybe not us have had, because we're not teenage girls, but a combination of things. Like, we could be that guy sometimes.
Ralph,
we could have been.
And saw his best friend jerking him off, or your best friend jerking him off.
I did.
What?
But other stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's all related to, even if it's one degree over. We've heard these stories, or I've seen them, like third person style. Like, there's some of the stuff are realistic, right. Universal. Even though they are, you know, hooked in with today's technologies and social words, you know, or whatever. Yeah, I think it works. This movie is really well made.
Mm-hmm.
It was really well written. That's the main thing, I think, is the writing.
The writing is spectacular.
The
writing and the acting. They sold me on all that overall. Yeah. I like Kara Sarek a lot. I want to see her more in movies. She's been doing that show and for the longest time, The Closer.
Yeah.
I'm glad she's done with that.
It showed a lot of... It showed a lot of, what's it called, maturity on Woody Harrelson's character, should I say?
Yeah.
Because he is the actor. It showed a lot of maturity because he plays around with her. He messes around with her the whole time. Like, listen, you're a kid. Like, just fucking grow up, basically, right?
Right.
Like, you'll be fine, basically. That's his message most of the time, right? Yeah. And then when he's actually serious, he's like, especially when he snaps at her, like, he fucking unleashes on her, right? She unleashes on him, should I say. When she unleashes on him and she's like, you're bald and you're this and you're that, right? And he takes like a champ.
Yeah, he does.
He doesn't lash back out. He doesn't go to the tension, miss, or none of that shit. He's just like, okay, listen, I get it.
She's got events.
I get it. Like,
and also,
I'm your only supposed friend, but I'm your teacher. Like,
yeah. No, and also, like, if I were him, like, at the worst version of him in that scene, then I thought of this too, and this is probably me if I was a teacher, honestly. I would just say, like, it's just a teenager. Why are you listening to them? Like, that's my reaction, so therefore, why react to this?
Sure, but he had, like, such...
But he had a little bit more to that.
Right, he had, like, it showed his 23 years of experience as a teacher, for example. You know,
and also, it shows that he didn't work for the job, he worked for his family.
Right.
Like, he lived for his family. He was funny and active with his baby and his wife.
Right, exactly.
Which is also a nice reveal, which I knew coming in. Like, I know where he's alone when she thought he was.
Right.
Because I know that's what she thinks, but I wouldn't have thought that.
Like I said, that's another part of the movie where it tells you, like, hey, listen, we all have our own issues also.
It's a nice supporting role. I like it.
It is, because it shows that, hey, I have a life outside of this.
It shows that there's another perspective to everything she's seeing.
Exactly.
Which probably leads to the boyfriend to be?
Erwin?
Erwin.
Yeah.
To Erwin's thing. You know, she sees his perspective then.
Right, exactly, through the movie.
And I'm so glad it wasn't the rich angle, because like, oh my God, why are you saying all this money stuff? Like, please don't do it for this
video. That was kind of funny.
It was funny.
Yeah, she got
Jesus, I want that pool. Don't you want that pool?
Dude, a heated pool?
With
a waterfall?
With a waterfall.
Yeah.
I think I saw some concubines
I also love how, like,
background.
You see her immaturity, how she doesn't understand people's emotions. Mm-hmm. Like, how she goes to the, like, yo, just have sex right now. And he's like, okay. Like, he's taken a little back by it, but, you know, and he's like, you know, I was just joking. He's like, oh, okay. So you just blue balled the man.
Yeah.
No, you did.
Yeah, don't mess with the fucking high schoolers.
And I love this comeback after the film festival.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
She needed that. Yeah. She really did need that, something like that, to humble her a little bit, because she's always railing on everyone.
Right.
Yeah. It's just that she talks so much that no one gets a chance to retaliate.
Well, he didn't the whole time, the first
no,
date.
No, he didn't, of course. I mean, he was nervous the first 70 times he met her
right.
or he saw her.
Poor
and
guy.
Then, like, he got used to it enough, like, okay, now I can start saying
now,
shit.
I have a question. Do you think that they would ever hook up if... she was broken up with her best friend?
No.
Well, she kind of said, like, because when they were still talking, she's like, you know, how she kind of sees him as, like, this, you know, like, poor little thing. Like, she wants to just cuddle him and put him on a little baby Bjorn and carry him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there could have been a thing there.
Well, yeah. Doesn't seem very healthy.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he wouldn't have let it. Probably would have,
yeah.
But I don't think so. I think it talks about, like, life also is very much about timing, and the timing was just right for them to be together. I'm not saying forever
for
either,
sure.
But I'm just saying they'll be together happily for now, and I think the timing was right. And his movie was really funny.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, exactly what a good student film would look like too.
Right.
That was really well made. I don't know if an actual student film made it, or like, how do you make a bad version of something that's a good version of it? Like, it's a bad quality but a good, you know. It's hard to do that. It's like bad acting, like being a bad actor in a fake movie in a movie.
Okay.
Like, how do you pull that off? It's really hard, you know, when you practice all your life to be a good actor.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. That's when you know you've become a good actor, is when you can be a bad actor.
That's why Kevin Spacey is awesome. I don't know why I said that. I have no reference to that. I just like saying Kevin Spacey's name.
Actually, that is his go-to actor so far. Like, the last three shows, I think you've mentioned Kevin Spacey.
Not the last three, but I mentioned him two shows ago. I did.
Quite the hard-on for Spacey there.
Yep. Right. Mr. Underwood, your secretary is here.
Yeah. I like how at the end, you know, how everyone kind of came to terms and you kind of saw everyone. And how the mom was, like, about to freak out, like, call me immediately. He's like, no, wait, erase. Takes time. No, erase that.
That was good. Okay.
Okay. I was like, okay.
And I was, like, telling her, I mean, in my head, I was like, just say okay.
Right. I think we were all. Like, okay, just
don't
say
even
okay.
Say fine, because fine sounds a little too, but just say okay.
All right. It's all you needed.
That's good. It's like, and that's good because the movie's in sync with the audience
right.
in
it's,
that moment.
It's definitely of its time because you see a lot of the things. Like how they communicate, like she talks to the guy that she wants to fuck or whatever she wants to get in a relationship with through Facebook.
Yeah.
That can only be done through text, that okay reply. Like, because if she had answered the phone, her immediate reaction would have been to, like, oh my God, where are you? Why aren't you responding?
Like, I was home. You
right,
were
exactly. And then it would have been a bigger drama. And to get that moment of pause, and we all have it where sometimes you get a text
right.
or instead of a phone call, I know we don't call each other anymore, but. Instead of a phone call, you can't.
This is why I made the podcast, so I can hear your voices.
You can't think about what to say, and you kind of like have a moment of pausing and go, okay, I can reply now.
Right.
And I don't know what to say without calling myself or whatever I need to say.
Yeah, it's editing yourself.
Exactly.
In a personal way, not a Facebook way.
Right.
Yeah, very good stuff. I feel like we could talk more about every detail of the movie, but anything specific or anything big on the movie we want to mention or talk about?
I like how the movie started. You know, it did that thing where it's in the middle, and then it backtracks. Usually, it's like
the suicide
thing. Yeah,
I
thought it was kind of well played out in this scenario.
Did you in that opening? Did you think saw it as a joke immediately, or did you see it as something more serious?
I thought
going back to.
Well, I knew she wasn't serious as like offing herself,
mm-hmm.
but I saw like something, you know, something in her life became so dramatic, or she had to, you know. Become this like, oh my God, the world is, you know, against me, the end is nigh.
Oh, I love her little mutterings against God. I mean, like she did like two or three of them yeah. in the bathroom. I don't know what she said, but I remember laughing really hard at one of them.
It's like, whenever you ever helped me.
Yeah.
And then she like looks over and there's no toilet paper.
Yeah. Like, go fuck off or something. She says fuck you. He says something really funny.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's kind of weird. I've That was a very weird thing. Like, she's we're watching a girl urinate in the bathroom. You don't see many bathroom shots. I guess this is why.
Well,
I don't know what
Alexander Payne.
I have it was funny because I actually connected a lot with that moment.
Which one?
With her praying, right?
Oh, okay. Because
I did that when I was in my youth, right?
Fuck yes, I did.
I mean, I used to be like, just you know, do me the favor, God, like, let me do this or let me get this or whatever. I'm like, damn it, you're not there, right? The difference is I actually went to Mass and unlike her or whatever.
Little heathen.
Right. You know, and like, or I actually.
You're not scoring extra body points. Also, right. God is like, I got bigger fish to fry.
Right, exactly. That's the thing. Like, it didn't matter. Like, you know, right. That's what I'm trying to say. And I've been there.
I know it can be everywhere at once, but Jesus, dude.
I've been in her shoes before, and it was really funny when she did not. She couldn't. And she's just like, man, you gave me shit. Right?
I'm sure she likes The Gray.
Yeah.
Movie The Gray.
I like how she, the whole suicide thing, so, you know, I want to jump off the overpass, get a big truck. Hopefully not a school bus or a bus. I don't want people to watch. Put them through it. she was so considerate of these other things.
Yeah. Excuses to get out.
And then his fake suicide note that he's making up on the fly.
Yep.
Good times.
Good times.
Yeah. So do you guys think that she magnetized to Woody Harrelson's character? Because it's like kind of like a father figure.
I think no. You know what? I thought that first. I thought he might be that, or she might see it as that way. I don't think she either saw it as him as that, or that he would be one. I saw it more like he's the adult that won't bullshit her.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it was. At first,
yeah, there's no patronizing with him.
Right. At first, I thought it was like a father figure kind of thing.
And he really generally, I don't think he cares overall. He just wants to get through the day. Now he does give her a slack and does help her. And maybe by the end, he does, like, he says, barely likes the, you're one of my favorite students, or whatever he says. Like,
yeah.
And he probably does mean it, but that's a long way to get there. I think he's never has bullshitted her before.
Right. I love that when she's like, I didn't do my homework because I'm grieving, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And she's like, when's
oh my God.
Death?
Yeah. 3 years ago?
Yeah, she's like, 2011. She's like, and he looks at the calendar, like, 2015, 2016. He's like,
I have
a 1 year thing. She's like, are you kidding me?
Sorry. And he doesn't call back, doesn't get back on it, doesn't buckle under the teenage pressure.
Right.
Which is none at all, by the way. Guys, you don't have to listen to teenagers. Well, not all of them. I guess if you have your own. I know it. I knew the joke coming in before I said it. Anything else on the movie?
No, I mean, it was a good movie overall. So I could recommend this watch for sure.
I would recommend it too. I want to see it again even. Now, the age of 17, doesn't that feel like it's like you're nearing 17? Because she was 17 already.
So I thought it was that, but it also, it could mean the age of like 17 to
18.
18, I guess.
But there's no mention of that either. Yeah. It's not like a big, like she was graduating.
Well, we don't know.
Maybe it's that big leap, you know.
Well, she's what?
She's junior.
Or it's like the edge of reason, but replaced reason with 17. Like the, I don't know. I just thought the title was low.
We talked about movie titles. We don't get into it.
Okay.
We just agree if they're stupid or not.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I 100% agree on this title. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, that's The Edge of 17. We all recommended. So let's move on to our next film quite soon after this clip, which will be a little movie called what, Luke?
Nerve.
Okay, it's called Nerve. Like the nerve ending. So, stay with us.
Did you take my stuff? I mean, my wallet, my clothes, everything's gone.
No, my stuff is gone too.
Okay, technically, it just says we have to leave the store. Right? Yo, kiss me,
you know that you miss me. Get on the bike and Nerve. A high school senior finds herself immersed in an online game of truth or dare, where her every move starts to become manipulated by an anonymous community of watchers.
I thought you said moose.
Where? What? What?
Move. The way you said it, I thought I heard moose. I was thinking Rocky Bullwinkle.
Well, it's funny. This is truth or dare, but truth is not really an option.
Yeah, what's truth?
Dare.
Truth, I won't do it.
True story. All right, so this is directed by Henry Joost and Ariel Schulman.
Yeah, these are the guys who did...
They did Paranormal Activity 3 and 4.
But much more known for.
They also did the Catfish documentary.
And the
TV show, right.
Catfish is their main. That's their.
They love catfishing.
Well, yeah, I guess. Then he started, but they documented it.
Yes.
Yes. So, I mean, that's kind of the real reason I saw this movie. And the trailer looked pretty okay. And the poster looked crazy vibrant.
Yeah. Right. It was like, oh, colors.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like I thought it was going to be in the future.
Talk about Moths to a Flame.
Like, if you had a poster members. Like that, you would expect if the lights turned off, it would glow.
Yeah,
right?
You would expect that.
All right. So, movie stars, Emma Roberts.
Daughter 2.
Rob Roberts?
Bobby Rob?
Yeah, we're walking here. I'm like, yeah, well, she's niece to Julia Roberts. And her dad, I'm like, is Rob?
No. And then they start making fun of that name. The whole walk here.
All right. Who's the father again?
I don't fucking know. You were the one who started saying that stuff.
You said his name later on. Eric Roberts.
Oh, yeah, Eric. I don't know what the fuck that is.
Yeah, you do.
What was he in? He's an actor?
Probably. Yes, he's an actor. He comes from an acting family. Jeez, he's got a lot of shit in post.
They could be producers and shit?
Yeah. He's got 452 acting credits.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Dude, look at all the shit in post-production right now. I have to scroll down. There, just stopped.
Well, I don't care enough to find out. I'm sure I know him. Anyway, stars her. Who else does it star?
Here's the picture.
Oh, I know that motherfucker.
Exactly.
That's Eric Roberts, huh? I never put the name to
the
face.
That's the father?
Yeah.
Oh.
He's got okay genes.
Right.
We should get some.
All right. Also starring another person in a movie.
Acting family.
Dave Franco. He is Ian. Emily Mead as Sydney. Best friend-ish. By default.
I think that girl is from The Leftovers. I'm not 100% though.
No, I didn't look her up.
Don't worry about it. Not a big deal.
Then we have Miles Heiser as Tommy, the kind of friend-zoned kid that wants to get into V's pants.
Oh, he's in like 3 scenes. Why are we talking about this?
No,
he's the hacker.
Yeah, he's the hacker. Oh, God.
Brings the whole
thing. I'm sorry. 3 normal scenes, I meant to say. Sorry, 3 legit scenes.
Well, that's not what you said.
That's what I meant. That's what I meant,
and,
though.
And that's pretty much everyone except...
Machine Gun Killer.
Machine Gun Kelly, Oscar's favorite person.
I got his name wrong. I don't know him.
Yeah.
Any crossover listeners who listens to the SOS-Radio show would know that I don't understand Jay's fascination with Machine Gun Kelly. That's the end of that conversation.
Yeah, his real name, I guess, is Colson Baker. If I had that name, I guess...
Jesus, I would change it too.
I think Machine Gun Kelly is better.
I'll go with Susie Uzi.
Okay.
Let's talk about this movie now.
So this movie starts off kind of like this girl's opening up her
with
computer.
With opening credits.
No, opening up her computer, and we have this girl. She is... replying to a college acceptance, and she kind of writes in there, you know, that I'm a...
Totally forgot this word.
Pussy, that I'm a worthless piece of shit or whatever, and I'm not going to go to your school. So that. Then her friend calls her through her laptop, and they have like a little video chat.
She opens the phone. Right?
And she tells her about, you know, to watch the Nerf thing, this game that they're playing, where basically you watch or you play. If you play, people dare you to do things for real money. And her friend is
digital money. Yeah.
And her friend is, you know, she does it like she was at a pep rally and she mooned everyone at the pep rally and that was her dare was complete.
Right.
After that, they all go to some restaurant and V gets blasted by Sydney, you know, saying, because Sydney goes up to some guy she wants to bang. You know, typical bullshit.
Right.
She's like, hey, my friend likes you. So she's not my type. And lo and behold, V is at home. She's like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm going to go start playing this so I could be more interesting or whatever.
Change up my routine.
Yeah, pretty much. So she has to go to a restaurant and kiss someone randomly for 5 seconds. A random person. So she stumbles upon Dave Franco's character, Ian. And he's reading some book that she really liked. Ends up making out with him, and turns out Ian is also in Nerv, and he's like a top contender.
Nervu.
So lo and behold, everyone.
Are you gonna get the whole just descriptive movie?
Yeah.
Not the whole thing. Just
no. Just for this. This is pretty much it. Like, lo and behold, like, everyone likes them together, so they make them start doing all these crazy.
And it goes crazier
together.
From there. They
yeah, it goes way crazy. So, yeah. Would you let's see.
I believe it's your turn.
I believe I have the power to choose.
And usually, how it goes, it's your turn.
I do believe I did not care for this movie. I believe it was hokey. I hated the ending passionately. We live in a world where Mr. Robot is a show. We know this hacking bullshit isn't going to suffice. Oh, I'm on the darknet. Mom, I need a passkey. Shut up, kid. You're only going on 10% of the websites out there. I was like, okay, shut up. It's the family.
The dark web. Yeah. Dark.
It's so
dark
stupid.
Down there.
Yeah.
I didn't see nobody pull up Tor. That's all I'm saying.
No, he went on Tor.
He did?
At one point, he went for like Tor dot something to get into like some dark web. Aruba. There you go. Some stupid shit.
Did you say Aruba?
Aruba.
Okay. No, at first, though.
Yeah. I thought it was Aribu for some reason.
Oh, okay. Caribou.
Yeah. There you go. That's what
Caribbean
I was thinking.
Queen?
Oh, sorry, right.
No.
All right.
Danny Ocean there.
Yeah, so I didn't care for this movie. I thought it was kind of cool, like the system, the whole Dare thing. And the watchers, I was like, where's this money coming from?
Well,
like,
they charge them $20 to
$20
watch.
$20 for total, like an hour?
So
Jesus.
There's like 10,000 watchers or whatever.
Right, so that's some money.
There's the money.
Yeah, $20 to watch for how long?
24 hours.
I thought it was an hour.
No, it's a day. Oh, okay. It's a whole day. It's a whole day's worth.
Yeah, but some of those people had like 17,000 watchers. So
right, that's what I'm saying.
Money.
At $20 an hour, you can pick whoever you want to watch.
Right.
That was the difference. You could watch for free, but it doesn't. You get to. Yeah, it just puts on any random.
Okay.
They
didn't explain it, but I think it's what it looked like.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really didn't explain it. Although I haven't seen this movie in months now, but I don't remember that being a thing.
Oh, and open source. That's not how open source works, dumbasses. Okay, at least now. Okay. So, hey, Oscar, what did you think of this movie?
Pretty forgettable.
Right now, right?
No. This movie is it's just okay. It's like a fluffy movie. It's just like a movie of the week. It's the definition of it almost. It's a movie of the day because it takes place in one day.
Mm-hmm.
It is a fun concept. I think it doesn't quite meet the lesser standards of or something like The Purge, where it has like a concept and it just tries to go on it. It's even like worse than that because it's the scale of it doesn't really make sense. It doesn't track really well. And it has an ending where instead of going all out like it should have, it never does. I feel like this movie could have been a pretty badass B movie because they didn't know what they had. It has, like, they had this baby, but they raised it to be like a preppy boy when it should have been like a hipster or a skateboarder.
If you are intentionally raising a hipster, you need to be sterilized.
That's like where it should have been, and I don't want to raise any of those. None of those three things interest me. Anyway, I don't know why I said it that way. It just came out that way. Anyway, so yeah, I feel like this movie could have been had some potential, and but no, it did not meet those. I mean, some of the individual scenes were kind of cool. Like I said, like this movie does have some fun. It shows how much energy of fun this thing could have, the app. The way it manipulates people's like choices to do illegal things, right? You know, that's kind
of not illegal. Some
of the stuff was illegal. Yeah, like theft.
Some of it was ballsy.
Some of it was just ballsy shit. You know, stupid shit. But yeah. So some of the stuff was fun, but like it's just a few random scenes. It wasn't like a connective thing.
Right.
And that's my thinking.
All right. How about you, Ralph? How did you feel about Nervu?
I mean, yeah, it's pretty. The movie needed to do was not be wholesome, I guess. It needed to
actually give it that hard R instead of that PG-13 it got.
Well, yeah, so that and just the fact that it needed to wrap up this. It needed to have this story, and we needed to feel sad for these characters. And she needed to do everything they mentioned before. She needed to happen. It needed to happen, right? Like, oh, if you like, they mentioned the thing. If you call the cops. Or whatever, snitches get stitches, or, right? And that's what they said.
Which is like, I mean, if there's like 17,000 people watching this,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure someone's going to tip off a cop, like, hey, this is going on.
Right, yeah, and then she needed to say something to the cops, even though The cop was like, literally
not giving a fuck.
Well, not only that, but it's just like she went to the cops after. She could have done it to the cops any other time instead. Like, maybe when her clothes got stolen. Or maybe when, you know, but instead is after she walks the ladder. Like, why? Like, what are you going to go to the cops for? You did it on your own free volition. Like, what are you talking about? What's the issue? Someone's going to get hurt? Like, you're the one who did it on purpose. Like, what are you
people
complaining
get hurt
about?
All the time.
What are you complaining about? You know?
Right.
And then after that, the movie falls, like, just completely apart. It needs to wrap up, and they need to shut down Nerve, right? They need to do this, like, all of those other things. You know, it has to have a happy ending. And that's where the movie fails. Like, so overall, yeah, it's a flop. It's, I mean, there's some fun parts of the movie. I like some of the stuff. Like, the whole, what's it called, the motorcycle scene, for example, when he has to get to 60 miles an hour.
Blindfolded.
You know? Blindfolded,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool, you know?
Ballsy.
Like, okay, and then another...
And I'm pretty sure you could get to 60 a lot faster.
Right, well, he was also going slow on purpose, you know, because she was, like, super afraid.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, they could have... There's, like Oscar said, there's potential in this movie and for, like, a B-movie. Yeah. And it doesn't go there. You could go to the extent of, like, someone dying or someone leaving it. Maybe, like... How Nerve 1 or Nerve 0, technically, the prequel of the Seattle version.
Well, maybe that's know a
better,
how that turns
maybe
out.
Maybe that's a better version of this movie.
We could like, do it.
Because the guy dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And then they get in prison and then it's over. Right? That'd be a pretty cool one, maybe. But, like, why? Where are you going to jail for? Like, you guys did everything on your own. Like, these kids are just idiots.
Right. You know? I felt like he could explain it, like, when they were in that elevator scene.
I like the concept, though. I like the cool, like,
the
whole viewer things, and then they partnered up, and then they do, like, these crazy...
There's a Black Mirror episode that kind of... Because it's a lot about, not trolling, necessarily, but it talks a lot about this movie reflects on how social media inspires a lot of people to, you know, not inspires, but makes people... Lets people comment or rate or buy or... You know, go into one direction, right? As far as what they're talking about online, right? And there's a Black Mirror episode that does that, and in return, like, kills a lot of people.
Yeah. See, I agree. See, I was
watch Black Mirror.
I pulled up this thing because I remember I was reading it earlier on Cinephile's Alex Brennan review.
Yeah.
He says it's a perfect thing. Like, removing the moral message would have been the best scenario for Nerve, and it's just like, yeah, that's like the moral message of like. Oh, like this whole, you know, like we're all desensitized to these, you know, crazy things that people do.
And also, like, you don't even have to say it, man. We know already.
Exactly. And it's just like, and just don't go with the fact that, like, you have to be a hero. You have to be this thing. Like, I don't know. The movie would have been way much more better.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure.
Like I said, there is potential. It's like watching, you hit it right on the nose with The Purge. The Purge, so much potential for that movie. And then you go those, you know, those shitty routes. You're just like, why? Like, they try to play it safe, you know, or what they think is safe, and it kind of fails for that.
Yep.
So, that's Nerve.
And that's The Purge. Get two reviews with that one.
Purge election year. We didn't even watch it, but we know what happened.
I saw it.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
It's okay.
It's all right. I watched the fucking Transformers movie.
Which one?
Dude. The latest one.
Age of Extinction?
Yeah.
Really?
That's the last one? I thought it was the fourth one.
Isn't Age of Extinction the fourth one?
No, there's a fifth.
What's the fifth?
Wait, there's a fourth? The fourth is the last one.
Yeah.
Third, maybe.
Third is the Chicago one, huh?
Yeah.
I saw third one.
This is the one with Marky Mark.
Marky Mark is the Age of Extinction with the dinosaurs.
Exactly. Okay. Be glad.
I almost saw it, and then I decided to watch Lethal Weapon instead.
Good job.
Good job. Even the worst Lethal Weapon is better.
What'd you guys think about the lackluster ending?
The gun thing?
It's like, yeah.
What do you think about it?
I don't know. It was the dumbest ending, don't you think?
Like her faking her death?
I feel like you're trying to lead us into an answer.
Like, yeah.
You sound like a salesman. You hate shitty homes?
Right. What's is it the faking her death part?
How it ended? It was just like, that's it? Literally, I was like, that is it. It was so stupid.
Well, they're going to fuck right after.
It's a PG-13, okay? He'll be lucky to get a hand job.
Although it is Dave Franco.
It's PG-13 in the 80s, though. He getting everything.
Bush!
Yeah.
And a shower scene.
Yep. Sissy Spacek. Sorry, Carrie. That's 70. What year was that?
don't know. Luckily, you didn't go to Kevin Spacey.
That's funny.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, the ending sucked. It was just like...
It did. Like, and it, right after the part, the movie fell apart for me. And, like, it was barely holding on. But it fell apart for me after she complains to the cop. And then she gets thrown as the prisoner of this nerve thing.
Snitch.
After that, it's over. Like, they go this whole thing about, besides the dark web, they have to hack crowdsourcing things and whatever.
The open source code.
You're like, what the fuck is going on?
And how everyone became an accomplice to murder who voted yes to get her shot.
Yeah.
And they all freaked and they all turned off their phone.
Yeah.
And they all logged off, so there were no more viewers on Nerf.
I was watching. I mean, I was right
there. The only thing I was curious about is, like, wouldn't the guy who created this know? And, like, wouldn't he still be watching and be like, hey, she didn't get killed. Give me back my fucking money.
No, he created the monster, he was the first player.
I'm just remembering right now. And also, at the very end, they gave the money back that she won. The hackers hacked the money back into her account.
I'm sorry, if I worked at a bank investigation, like, something's going on with this account, guys.
Yeah, I don't think that money would go through really well. Like, nobody, people will ask questions and shit, sniff around.
Right. I've never seen a deposit go through that fast. Mm-hmm. Just throwing it out there.
True story.
Yep.
It's like 3 to 4 fucking days. God damn it. Clear already.
I already spent.
I literally got nothing else on this movie. This movie is really just there. Yeah. Should we call it quits on this one?
Done and done. Don't see Nerve. Go watch Edge of 17. And Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, you'll find them.
And that's it for our show today, folks. You have been listening to another movie podcast. You can follow me on Twitter if you want for movie chatter at Armin Filmmaker. That is Filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N.
You can find me at Blind Noir.
Ruff.
You can find me in your house. No, at Gamer Ralph with 2 R's and an F.
You can also follow me on Letterboxd under the same name. And also, I'm a part of another podcast that I mentioned briefly earlier called SOS-radio.com. You can follow that on the website, also on iTunes and all that shit. We are a supernatural podcast. We talk about the supernatural in all life, in all aspects. Personal is our main foregoing. We go to places and we document and count and talk about them. It's really great. We've been doing it for just over a year. We hit the year mark like a month ago or 2 months ago. I forget how long ago. Anyway, again, for more information on the show and future shows, go to otherpodcast.com. Remember, we come out every other week. We are a bi-weekly show. We come out on Friday. We'll come out next Friday on the 16th of December. And, Roth, you're choosing the films for that.
Oh, I totally forgot, yeah. Sure.
No, I got them here for you. Okay, cool. I'm just letting you know that you're doing that.
We're going to blame you for these.
Yes. Although I want to see all of these. We're going to be doing 4, maybe 5? How are we doing this?
We're going to try to do the 5.
5 movies.
But I think it's 4 for sure, right?
Before you say, like, what?
We'll settle for 3 if we have to.
Yeah, if we have to.
If we have to, right. We have the top 3 for sure.
Yeah.
Right? We have the 4th. And then the fifth.
So the top 3 are La La Land, the latest by Damien Chazelle. L, which is on video on demand right now, I believe, to rent.
Is it?
Paul Verhoeven, the guy who directed, what's that, a movie? Showgirls and RoboCop and shit.
Right.
We're also reviewing Jackie, the biopic that stars Natalie Portman. Those are the top 3. We'll also add, hopefully, an Amazon original movie. I think it's on one of their produced movies.
Yeah.
Called Complete Unknown. So if you have Amazon Prime Video, it's available there. Mm-hmm. And our fifth, the more possible movie we can watch, is a movie that's still in theaters right now called Nocturnal Animals, which stars, Jake Gyllenhaal and some other actress. Amy Adams, is it?
I think it is Amy Adams,
She's on a roll right now with a rival in this one.
Yeah.
So the reason we have a hefty schedule, hopefully, in store for next time is because it's December, guys. All the great movies are coming out.
Right.
We're going to watch and we're going to try to review as many for you guys as possible so you can better acclimate yourselves for 2016, even though it's been a shitty year. Everyone agrees. A lot of deaths, Prince. So, like, but movies are still pretty badass, man. Right. Still great filmmakers out there.
I did my job making sure I didn't pick any Eddie Redmayne movies. But
Thank you. Although he might appear in as a lamppost or something in this one. I don't know why. I forgot to make fun of him in that Fantastic Beasts movie, how he was acting, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, until then, my little cinephiles, I am Oscar.
And Luke.
Hey, Ralph.
See you later.
Dead or alive, you're coming with me.